We invite you to look at your program, follow it, and be prepared to join us on a couple of numbers. When we get to the point we're singing When I Survey, we'd like for you to stand and sing with us the fourth verse, also the very ending. We'll see you at the end. Enjoy.
Yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power, the victory, the glory, and the majesty. For all that is in the heavens and on the earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head above all. Riches and honor come from you, and you rule over all. In your hand are power and might, and it is in your hand to make great and to give strength to all. And now, our God, we give you thanks and praise your glorious names.
light of Lord is my light, the light of my life, the light of my life, and my salvation.
The light of my salvation.
The Lord is my strength, the Lord is my strength, the strength of my life,
the strength of my life,
and my salvation.
Thank you. There once was a man named George Thomas, a preacher in a small Texas town. One Sunday morning, he came to the church building carrying a rusty, bent, old birdcage and set it on the pulpit. Eyebrows were raised, and as if in response, the preacher began to speak. Yesterday, I was walking through town, and I saw a young boy coming toward me, swinging this birdcage. On the bottom were three little wild birds, shivering from fear and cold. I stopped the lad and asked, "What do you have there, son?" "Just some old birds," came the reply. "What are you going to do with them?" I asked. "Take them home and have fun with them," he answered. "I'm going to tease them and pull out their feathers to make them fight. I'm going to have a real good time." "But you'll get tired of those birds sooner or later. What will you do then?" "Oh, I got some cats," the little boy said. "They like birds. I'll take him to them." The preacher was silent for a moment. "How much do you want for those birds, son?" "Huh? Why, you don't want them birds, mister. They're just plain old field birds. They don't sing. They ain't even pretty. How much? The preacher asked again. The boy sized up the preacher as if he was crazy and said, $10? The preacher reached in his pocket and took out a $10 bill. He placed it in the boy's hand. In a flash, the boy was gone. The preacher picked up the bird cage and gently carried it to the end of the alley where there was a tree and a grassy spot. He set the bird cage down and opened the door, and by softly tapping the bars, persuaded the birds out, setting them free. Well, that explained the empty bird cage on the pulpit. But then the preacher began to tell this story. One day, Satan and Jesus were having a conversation. Satan had just returned from roaming the earth, and he was boasting and gloating. Yes, sir, I just caught me a world full of people down there. Set me a trap. Used bait I knew they couldn't resist. Got them all. What are you going to do with them? Jesus asked. Satan replied, I'm going to have fun. I'm going to teach them how to marry and divorce each other, how to hate and abuse each other, how to drink and smoke and curse. I'm going to teach them how to invent guns and bombs and kill each other. I'm really going to have a good time. And what will you do when you are done with them? Jesus asked. Oh, well, I'll kill them, of course. Satan glared proudly. How much do you want for them? Jesus asked. Oh, you don't want those people. They're no good. Why? You'll take them and they'll just hate you. They'll spit on you, curse you, and then kill you. No, 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 Jesus. You don't want those people. How much? He asked again. Satan looked at Jesus and sneered. All your blood, your tears, and your life. Jesus said, done. And then he paid the price. The preacher picked up the birdcage and walked from the pulpit.
Thank you. Offering in silence, he bearing our shame. We hid our faces from him. We hid our faces from him. We didn't know that this was God the Father's plan, born of love to bring redemption down to man, that in love he gave his only son, so that we might be forgiven. Behold the Lamb, risen in glory, coming to reign, by the Father exalted, crowned with glory and honor. Behold the Lamb, King of kings and Lord of lords, through all creation.
Immortality, immortality. Almighty God is holy, righteous, and just. Romans 3:23 tells us that all people have sinned and are inadequate to be in his presence. As a result of his wrath against sin, we are doomed to eternal separation from him. But thankfully, the story doesn't end there. In his love and mercy, God sent his Son to walk among us. Jesus experienced the hardship and temptation common to all people, yet he never sinned. The Savior chose to die a gruesome death in our place, paying the penalty for our wrongs. There is no deeper love. Jesus died for us while we were yet still his enemies. In fact, he would have sacrificed himself even if you were the only person to exist.
Promising forgiveness and eternal life, Christ asked sinful man to believe and follow him. When we trust in Jesus, we are adopted as God's children and receive his indwelling spirit, who blesses us abundantly with joy, peace, and guidance. Always welcome before the throne of grace, believers have access to converse with the Father at any time. He promises to hear and respond to our seeking, repentant hearts. And Jesus intercedes for us with the Father, praying on our behalf. We don't deserve the Lord's invitation to have an intimate relationship with him. Yet, in his grace, he's loving and compassionate towards us. What a privilege to be able to approach the King's throne, knowing he listens, understands, and cares. We can rest in God's love and enjoy sweet fellowship with him.
Oh. Would you stand with me as we pray? Lord Jesus, just how grateful we are that you were willing to leave your place in heaven and to join your creation and become one of us. How grateful we are, Lord Jesus, that you gave up your life, allowed yourself to be punished for our sin. And how grateful we are that you were raised from the dead, and that based on your resurrection from the dead, Lord, we know that our sins are forgiven and we have life forever. Thank you, Jesus, for being in this place, for giving us the pleasure of worshiping you this morning, and for giving us the honor of being able to give back some of what you have given us. For it's in your name we pray. Amen. You may be seated.
demands my soul, my life, my all. Through Campus Crusade for Christ, the Jesus film has been translated into 1,570 languages and counting. Church planting partners have been equipped in 100 countries, and teams on 5 continents have been mobilized to go to the ends of the earth. From apartments in the frigid cities of Siberia, Russia, to huts in arid rural villages of South Africa, people, families are hearing and responding. Lives are being changed now and for eternity. Dan, an American, answered the call to help fulfill the Great Commission. He's not on staff with the Jesus Film Project, but he is one of their partners, so passionate about his call that he uses the Jesus film to propel his ministry into dangerous places around the world. His team knows the best place to start is where it's the darkest. So Dan sends his Jesus film teams into the villages where globally known radical religious groups recruit people and set up their headquarters. Recently, he sent a team into one of these areas, and it did not go well.
Dan describes, "Our team was arrested. After they were arrested, we heard gunfire and assumed they were all killed. But none of our people were killed. Lots of persecution, people wounded, but not one killed. And we never stopped, because our mission is not to be safe. Our mission is not to survive. Our mission is for Jesus to be known, no matter what the cost." Eventually, these militant religious leaders were amazed at the tenacity and strength of the team. They said, "We have to know who gives you this strength." That's when the team had a chance to show the Jesus film. They explained, "We showed the movie all night long, and these leaders watched intently. The next day, the militants ate a meal with us. The conflict seemed to be over. So the next night, we showed the film again. Suddenly, these Muslim leaders began asking, 'Do you know how many people I've killed? Can Jesus actually forgive me?' The amazing thing is, the film team itself is made up of people who used to live the same lifestyle. So their response was, 'Why not? Christ forgave me. He took the shame from my heart.' The soldiers replied, 'From now on, we will protect this village because we want to be part of your group. We will no longer live for jihad. We will protect everyone in this village because as an entire village, we are going to follow Jesus Christ.' Dan says, 'There are thousands of these previously radical extremists who have met Jesus Christ supernaturally. They're still radical, but they've just switched jerseys. And they're stopping at nothing to tell everybody about Christ. Their tool of preference, the Jesus film.'"
I, the Lord of sea and sky, I have heard my people cry, all who dwell in deepest sin.
made the stars of night. I will make their darkness bright. Who will bear my light to them? Whom shall I send?
I will go, my will go, in the light. Around the world, the Holy Spirit is preparing the hearts of unexpected villagers to bring about extraordinary results in planting churches and witnessing in His name. Through the collaboration with other organizations, over 1 million churches and missional communities have been birthed. This is one of the greatest moments in history. God is doing amazing things around the world, said Bekele Shenko, who served as a national director for Ethiopia and as a vice president at Crew International. Jesus said the gospel is to be preached to the whole world, and that is exactly what is happening. Revelation 5:9 reminds us that by Christ's blood, people will be ransomed for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. God is on the move throughout the world, and He has no barriers. Jesus Film Project is one resource that allows the world to know Him.
On the journey of the narrow road, and those who've gone before us line the way, cheering on the faithful, encouraging the weary. Their lives a stirring testament in God's sustaining grace, surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. Let us run the race, not only for the prize, but as those who've gone before us, let us leave to those behind us the heritage of faithfulness passed on through godly life. Through all we've left behind, may the clues that they discover and the memories they uncover become the light that leads them to the road that we must find. Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful.
Inspire us to obey. The truth is, everything comes from God. It all belongs to Him. When we give with a grateful and joyful heart, it is in response to God's goodness and love. Giving to God is also an act of faith as we trust Him, not only for our daily provision, but for our future as well. Whenever we invest our funds faithfully in our local churches and in the worldwide cause of the gospel, we are honoring God, and He will honor us with blessings untold. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the best part of everything you produce. Then He will fill your barns with grain, and your vats will overflow with good wine.
Christ sent the church to the nations with the gospel. The underlying principle of harvest remains true throughout. We reap as we sow. If we give of ourselves to God as living